This is the first day and I'm already jumping the gun. No, good morning. It's so wonderful to be in camp. I praise the Lord. I am so thankful that today is today and it's not last Monday with 105 heat index. So doesn't that make you feel cooler? Well, kinda. But we are blessed, aren't we? We're a blessed people. And, you know, despite the heat, despite everything, you know, I think of back in the day when this camp first started, they wouldn't have had all the conveniences of air conditioning and the things we have today. So these fans are pretty, you know, I noticed people, I think people pray when they come in because they're looking up to the ceiling. I think they're looking up to God to see where they should sit. You know, and I know what they're looking for. They're looking for those magical fans that are up there. But isn't that wonderful? We do have air circulation. We can get a little bit of cooling. But we want the fire to fall. My prayer this week is that God's fire will fall on all of us. He's been faithful to do that year after year, and I don't see any reason it's not going to happen this year. So praise God that we're able to be in His house today. So happy that Steve can be with us. When we were together as a committee talking about speakers and the theme of hosting the Holy Spirit, Steve, your name came up as one of the ones that we wanted to contact to have come and share. So he's sharing this morning and then again this afternoon. So trust you can join us for both of those services. Gary, could you lead us in an opening prayer? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I told Steve we don't eat till noon, so we're, you know, he's got a little extra time. And looking forward to what Steve wants to share. Does a lot of traveling. Matter of fact, you're leaving this weekend for Guatemala. Guatemala. And see the smile on your face. You just came back from Brazil, so hey, you know. And you've been to Guatemala, I believe, too. Yes, okay. So he's traveling to Guatemala for a week. So that's exciting to me to hear that they're doing that. My granddaughter was in Guatemala this year, too, for a couple of months, actually. So some of the same connections that Steve will have down there through the ECC Church. And so it's exciting to see what God is going to do in that ministry. And it's exciting to see what God wants to do here today.
Hallelujah.
We're looking forward to hearing about hosting the Holy Spirit or whatever that looks like for you guys. Our speaker last night said we can go so many directions with this theme, which I think is a good thing because we have multiple different speakers and we don't have to overlap unless God wants us to overlap. We can go in different veins, different directions with it. So, Steve?
Amen. Testing 1, 2. Are we good? Should I put the mic a little? Are we good? Praise God. Is it sacrilegious if I put my Wawa coffee on here? Does that offend anybody? Amen. We don't. Hallelujah. How many here love Jesus? Do we love Him today? Hallelujah. Isn't He everything? Is God good today? Hallelujah. We want to do something I do on a regular basis, and I probably did it last year when I was here. But before we do that, I really feel like we should enter in for a song or two. Is there anybody here with a voice? I sound good in the shower, but not too much. Are you got the voice, brother? Do you sing?
I
Oh, the young lady. Oh, come on, come on. The young lady. Amen. All right. Help me up with two songs. But maybe she's too young to know my songs. Here we go. Do you know the one, just the chorus? Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, yeah. Oh, we know that one?
Yeah.
Can you just stand with me, please? I know they were seated on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. But that's hallelujah. Come on. But let's just worship the Lord. If you don't know the song, just worship Jesus. We're here to worship him. And let's just sing together. I should turn my mic off, and then I can sing more bold. But let's just sing. Oh, I love Jesus. Amen. Test, 1, 2, amen. Before I begin, I want to give some special recognition for some of you. One would be one of my classmates way back in 1975, Kathy. She's come here to fellowship with you. And right there, Kathy, can you just stand up? I'm going to embarrass you. Come on. This is Kathy. God bless her. Thank you so much for taking time and being with us today. Did you see this event on Facebook, or how did you know? Oh, your friend. Friend tells a friend. Thank you. Wow. There you go. Praise. You never know where Steve Hoffman's at. So thank you, Kathy. You're a big, big blessing. And then family-wise, I have my daughter here, Joy, from way out in Cornwall, and with two of her three sons, Elijah and Rowan. Will you guys stand up, please? Show your pretty faces. Amen. They're a blessing to me. Joy is the second of four daughters, and they mean everything to me. Also, there in the back, do I know you, brother? Your skin is a different color. Come on, Billy, stand up. This is Billy from Uganda. I've been to his house. I didn't know you were here. Mukama Yabizibwe. Hallelujah, Sabo. Kali Sabo. God bless you so much. Man, what a blessing. I didn't know he was here. Praise the Lord. And also, My dear wife, they say beside every good man is a great woman. Would you stand up, please? Come on. Hallelujah. So again, United Zion Campground, I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to serve. Thank you, Brother Chuck, for everything and your grace and thinking of me, and may God be glorified. Amen. And as many more I may recognize later, but I wanted to at least at this point go this way. We opened up, I think, last year with this. I'm going to open up again. I love to worship the Lord. And this is in, I'm going to read out of 2 Chronicles, chapter 7. When Solomon dedicates the temple. Amen. And that's where God dwelled with his people in that day. Today, we, hallelujah, are that temple of the Holy Spirit. Can someone say amen? That's why we're hosting Holy Spirit. We host him in Jesus' name. There they hosted God by building a temple where God would dwell, where God will come. I'm reading in right at 2 Chronicles chapter 7. When Solomon had finished what? What does your Bible say? Yeah, praying. Fire came down, amen, from heaven, and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Can someone say hallelujah? Hey, may the glory of the Lord fill you this week, amen? And I mean that with all my heart. May the glory fill you. May you be filled and filled and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the priests, who are the priests today? We are the priests today. If you said, who are the priests? You say, my pastor, I'll spank you. Amen? That's kind of a thread in my message on hosting the Holy Spirit. If you know who you are, if you know you're a priest, amen? If you know you're a steward of God, you will host the Holy Spirit. We are priests, amen? Well, I'll get into that later. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement. What was that like? On the pavement, they bowed down on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. For he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Amen? For he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Would you stand with me, please? And what we're going to do in response to worship God this morning, this is my icebreaker, amen, is this side of the building to my right, and you can kind of make a dividing line. We're going to cut Thane in half here. From this side over, you are going to say, for he is good. And this side to my left over, you're going to say, his mercies endure forever. Amen. This side, you're going to say, we're going to practice, for he is good. Say it again.
For he is good.
For he is good.
For he is good.
You took sides. You're taking this side? Oh, are you going to do both? Okay. And this side is, for his mercies endure forever.
For his mercies endure forever.
Hallelujah. So let's worship the Lord by, you know, if you put your faith in this, you're actually worshiping God. Amen? You can say it's just a crazy thing I'm doing in the morning to wake up, but actually, this is really a form of worship together, church. Amen? So you are saying, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. Let's worship the Lord by saying,
for he is good, for his mercies endure forever.
You're good.
Hallelujah.
God is?
For he is good. For his mercies
endure forever. Hallelujah. Now we're going to switch it up. Amen? You guys, you're going to say, for he is good. And his mercies endure forever. Amen? Go ahead.
For he is good.
Hallelujah.
His mercies endure forever. For he is good. His mercies
Amen.
For he is good.
Let's say it all together. For he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Say it again, church. For he is good, and his mercies endure. One more time. For he is good, and his mercies endure forever. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. If I can, God has many attributes, and he's all powerful. He's everywhere at once. He's all knowing. But if you can describe a God for me, Steve Hoffman, in three different attributes, it would be number one, God is holy. Everybody say holy.
Holy.
Number two, God is merciful. Everybody say merciful.
Merciful.
And God is good. Everybody say good.
Good.
Those three describe to me God as he is for eternity. God is holy. God is merciful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God is good. Amen. Amen. Before we get into the teaching from the Word out of the Zechariah 4, 6, and so on, we have a special guest here. And when you first asked me a few years ago to come, I was a keynote speaker, and I tag-teamed with Don Lamb, and we preached here in the evenings. Something happened to one of my relatives in his life, and he came here. I really didn't know him. I knew him maybe once a year at the reunion, but something happened in his life. And I want to ask Thane to come and to share his heart with you where he's at today. So Thane, come, please, and be a blessing. Amen. I'll get my coffee.
Wawa.
What does that mean?
Yahweh. Good morning, everyone. Ironically, I stood in this very spot 6 years ago, and I had just gotten through sentencing for a DUI, and I was about to embark on 6 months of house arrest. And I came here, and I read basically the battle for my soul.
Ooh.
And at the end of that night, your ministry was nice enough to lay hands on me and protect me. Well, I went through those 6 months, which was July of 2019. I was here on a Thursday night. Friday morning, I went in, I got an ankle bracelet on, and I basically spent the next 6 months locked in my house, which I consider a blessing. Ooh. The ironic part is you get real with yourself when all you have to look at is yourself.
Ooh.
So the best part and the worst part about that 6 months was when it ended in January of 2020. And if we all look back to those horrible days, that's when COVID started. So my house arrest was more like a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what it took. But I'm here today to, number one, thank you.
Mm.
Thank you for opening my heart to God.
Hallelujah.
And thank you for having a place where I can give my testimony so that Jews understand that places like this can help people like me.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I love you so much. God bless you. I have to ask Thane maybe three or four questions because this is what astounds me of his spiritual growth. When you came here to the Tabernacle, was it 6 years ago?
6 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. I went there for high school. I don't know math that well.
Yeah.
Kathy?
2019 to 2025. I went to Mannheim. He went to Ephrata.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
math's
really.
Math's a little easier for me.
Before you stepped in this Tabernacle way back 6 years ago, when was the last time you kind of stepped in a church?
Would have been the 1980s. And ironically, since then, I just took communion with Steve about 3 weeks ago. That was the first time in 40 years.
Come on.
And things, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So anybody that's struggling with a prayer, it's not being answered, Give it time. There's a reason. I don't know what my reasons are. I'm on a journey now to understand the Bible. And I'm actually dealing with Joy's sister. She's helping me in this road to reading the Bible and understanding the Hebrew version versus King James. So prayers get answered, but they don't always get answered on our timetable. We aren't Amazon. Mm-hmm. You don't get the overnight delivery. So,
hallelujah. God bless you, Thane. Praise the Lord. Amen. Not by might, nor by power. What does it say? But by my spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. I'm going to move this over. It just kind of bothers me. Amen. It shouldn't bother me, Billy. I preach in Uganda. Everybody's around you. Amen. I preach cows are mooing. Pigs are over here. Women are breastfeeding. I preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, Zechariah 4:6. And I'm going to actually read it. Let me see if I can find it here. I'm going to actually read it from the Bible, even though I just quoted it, and it's a short verse. I'm going to honor God's word, Pastor Chuck, and I'm going to read it from the word of God. Amen? That's the way I roll, right? So if you look at the theme, Bible verse for this week at camp meeting here 2025, it was birth in Zechariah 4, verse 6. And the background is God is rebuilding his temple. And he spoke to his people. And in Zechariah, the name means Yahweh remembers. Hallelujah. God will never forget you. Hallelujah. God will not forget you and what you went through in life. He is merciful and he is with you. God wants to see you overcome. God wants to see you be victorious. Amen. God has given you visions and dreams. God has given you desires. And the Holy Spirit is here to see them come to pass for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yahweh remembers. And when this was spoken, this scripture, outside of pastors who organized this, we'll just omit the big guns right now for a little bit. Do you know who spoke this? Who said, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord? Who said it? Did God say it in a dream? No. Did God say it through a prophet? No. I never knew this, Chuck. An angel spoke it. An angel of the Lord gave this word. A spiritual being, a messenger from God came to deliver, to tell his people, not by might. And that word might was also translated mostly in the Old Testament as army. Not by military, amen? Not by army, not by power, but by my spirit, amen? Don't do it by force. My temple will not be built by man's government or man's ways or man's intellect or man's money. My temple will be built by my spirit, amen? And the church today will not be built by man's government, man's military, man's intellect, man's wealth. The church of Jesus Christ is built by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. By my spirit. So that is the spirit. That also means, Thane, in Hebrew, by my breath, by my wind. Listen, by the air that is forced to you, I will build my church. Hallelujah. Amen. So I'm going to just read it again. When the angel of the Lord said, and I'll start at the beginning here. This is the word of the Lord to you, Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit. Whose spirit? God's spirit, amen? By my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know my personality. I kind of question as I'm getting older. But I have to do what Steve Hoffman does. I had to look under the definition. What does host mean? What does it mean by hosting the Holy Spirit? Hosting. And one thing I've done in hosting without knowing it, and this is just me, and I found I'm a little more wrong than right. The last few years, I started taking the away from Holy Spirit. Hosting the Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you are English teachers? Any English teachers or you know, anything with the English vocabulary besides my wife? She's a proofreader. The greatest proofreader I ever known is my wife. She would look at documents and say things, look at people's business cards, don't say it, don't say it. And she would tell them, well, you should have done this on business cards and stuff. And we were early married. I'm sorry, Beverly. She would proofread me before we go to bed. And proofread me to church. Yeah, remember, she would, and I finally said, honey, we're married, I'm your husband. Don't proofread me, for God's sake. Just let me go, you know. The voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of your wife sometimes sounds the same. Amen. We know that. Hey, I get an applause. Come on. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell on my wife. That's a morning right now. I was at a church, and when I was younger and really ministering on effort and things, I'd get on a roll and get on the pulpit and start, I don't quite telling jokes, but do funny things. And one time we were at this church, and Beverly, she was sitting like on the third row. She goes, what did you say? Hey, she said, preach it. Get on the subject. You remember? He says, what did you say? Oh, yeah, yeah. I heard this little voice. Stick to the word. You ought to say it again because I'm starting to go over here now. Stick to the word. So I get into this hosting the Holy Spirit. What are we doing, church? What does it look like? How do we do it? How do we begin to host you, Holy Spirit? And so I'd wake up and you can criticize Benny Hinn, a televangelist. I get all that, and I did follow him a little bit in my life. But I got to say one thing. He wrote a book, you may have seen it, called Good Morning, Holy Spirit. And I read that book, and it did inspire me that every morning, I don't know how many years, 10 years or more now in my life, the first thing I do in the morning, not that you have to do it, the first thing I do in the morning, I wake up and I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. I just give it to him. And I remember when I first started doing it, these little voices would say, what are you doing that for? You just can't talk to the Holy Spirit. You should talk to the Father in Jesus' name. Amen? But I had to break some of that. No, I want fellowship with you, Holy Spirit. I want to know you, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Holy Spirit. And so the whole V, hosting the Holy Spirit, hosting Holy Spirit. In studying this, Brother Chuck, I found out in most references, they use the Holy Spirit more than the Jesus Christ or the Father God. It's the Holy Spirit. And so I'm kind of now back on, okay, I get it. So now, in the mornings, again, you don't have to do this, I wake up and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. And then I say something we used to pray, and Beverly kind of prayed it over me for many years. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then now, I add to this, right when I wake up in the morning, even if I don't feel like it, and sometimes I mumble it, I think, Steve, say it out loud. Say it so you can hear it. I say, good morning, Holy Spirit. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And then I say, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then I get out of bed. Amen? I do. I just have to proclaim that Jesus loves me. No matter what happens today, no matter what lays before me, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? That's how I begin my day, getting right now. Host, what does it mean? I looked it up. There's more definitions. But these are the definitions, church, that I received. Hosting the Holy Spirit. Host is a person who receives or entertains guests. So we are receiving and entertaining. Amen. That's a word, entertaining. Hosting, host. A place or organization that provides facilities and services even for events and functions. United Zion Campground. We are hosting the Holy Spirit. Can I hear an amen on that? Here's where we're going south. Biology. Hosting means a living organism in which a parasite lives. You all feel comfortable about that, a parasite? He's hosting. Amen. So in the medical field, used in transplants. Were you a nurse, Kathy? Were you? I thought you were a nurse for some reason. You were a nurse. Okay. Which hospital or doctor? Ah, okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your service. Praise God. Amen. In the medical, it's used, hosting or host, it's used in transplants. Tissue to another tissue through the host brain. So it's still connecting. Holy Spirit and you connecting to the host. Amen. Heaven. Amen. Techie. Your techie computer that controls communication in a network and data or database. Amen. The host computer. So it's hosting. Hosting is the one that's it's in the head. It's connecting. And also a host is also a person that talks as a guest on a program. So those are the definitions, Brother Chuck, that I came up with in hosting. You know, how do we host? Those are how we use it in the English. The Holy Spirit is not, let me just talk about the Holy Spirit for a little bit. The Holy Spirit is God. Amen? The Holy Spirit was there at creation. In Genesis 1:2, it said the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. The Hebrew, he fluttered, he vibrated. And after he fluttered over the face of the deep, then God said, light be. Or he said, let there be light. There was first a move of the Holy Spirit. Then the Word of God came and creation began. Amen. When we allow the Holy Spirit to move, the Word of God becomes alive to us and God creates things in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. He's not an it. Amen. He's not something, but someone. He's more than power. He's a person. Amen. He is of the triune of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. He thinks, he speaks, he feels. And these are the three things that the Bible says more on the negative side of our relationship with the Holy Spirit that can happen to the Holy Spirit. Number one, he can be resisted in the Bible. He said, you stiff-necked people, you resist the Holy Spirit. He can be resisted. And that means, Thane, would you come to me? Can you just walk like over here? Walk towards me. Just walk towards me. He used to be a wrestler, so I have to be careful with this. Just walk. Here's resisting. No. Stay away. Stay away. I don't want you. Don't get near me. Don't get near me. Okay? I want nothing to do with you. Amen? Thank you. That's resisting. Some people resist the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I don't want you. Holy Spirit, I don't need you. Get away from me. Get away from me. That is resisting the Holy Spirit. People resist him. Denominations resist him. Amen? The devil wants nothing to do with him. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the power of the earth. The Holy Spirit is God on earth. Amen? The Holy Spirit is boss. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I must go away. I'm one body. But I've got to go away. But when I come back, I will come back as the Holy Spirit. And I can be with everyone at every time and any time. Amen? But I must go away. Jesus was one. When you go to heaven, you're going to see Jesus. I hope you see him before you go to heaven. He's one. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere. Amen? I must go away. And I will send another. Amen. That's what he said. One just like me. One identical. There's no difference between the Holy Spirit and Jesus. Amen. Let's see what I got in my wallet here. Oh, I got one. All right. Say, what is your name?
Dallas.
Dallas? I like that name. I lived in Dallas already. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Bible school in Dallas. Maybe you'll go to Bible school one day. Dallas, my name is Steve. I want to give you a dollar. You like dollars? Here's a dollar. Okay? Now, if I turn around and say, Dallas, I got another dollar. I'm going to give this dollar to you. Can I have that dollar? Did he have a dollar? And that's what Jesus said. I'm going to go away. But I'm going to send someone just like me. Who's going to be your counselor, be your guidance, be your side, give you wisdom, give you love, give you joy, give you peace. Amen. I got gifts. I have fruit. Hallelujah. So you have a dollar. Amen. It's the same. They're basically the same. The same value, the same currency, everything. But they're different, but it's still the same. Amen. That's Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Amen. They're the same. Kingdom. Amen. You got it? Here, take another dollar and be blessed. Hopefully I buy you something over the store. I don't know. But get mommy's. Are you mommy? Are you okay? All right. No, he said, no, get more, she said. Hallelujah. So that's the other. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, church. It says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, don't suppress the Holy Spirit. Don't hinder the Holy Spirit. How do we quench the Spirit? We can quench him through fear. And I'm going to be talking about this more in the afternoon. This morning session, I failed to tell you, this morning session, we're talking more individual, hosting Holy Spirit. And in the afternoon, we're going to be talking to more church, corporate, community, hosting the Holy Spirit. Amen? As a group. Amen. But today, this morning, we are more individualizing. How does that look? Through fear, we can quench God. Through control, we can fear God. Through flawed theology, we can quench the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why truth, he's the Spirit of truth. That's why God has come with a person of the Holy Spirit to give you truth. Amen. That Jesus is the way. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit will not speak anything against Jesus or the Father. Amen. But he can be quenched. And I don't want to steal my thunder for this afternoon, but one thing of quenching, I would say, I travel to many churches. I've seen so many things. And there's one church service, the people were so geared to get done at a certain time. And the one guy actually came beside me and I preached there. And they were afraid, I think, because they knew I'm a long-winded or talkative guy. And I'd always say, I knew I could pick it up right away. And so from the pulpit, I did one of those, which I did here one time. I said, hey, the longest I preached in Uganda was 3 hours and 15 minutes. I have mercy on you. Today, I knock off 15 minutes. You laughed. They didn't laugh. Hallelujah. You just got to get in there. But you can quench by saying, hey, we had a great service. We got done by 11:30. At 11:30, Holy Spirit, you go take a break. They close the service no matter what. You can quench the Spirit that way. There's more I want to talk about in the afternoon about what does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit. It means, quenching means you put water on the fire.
That's right.
Oh, we don't want that burning in here. You know? Oh, we don't want you singing those songs. That's a bucket. I'm throwing a bucket. You know? On the fire. We don't want that going on down. We don't want that preaching. That preacher's too loud. We don't want that type of preaching. You know? Maybe for that one Sunday in that year, maybe that one Sunday, turn that preacher loose. You know, it's something, man. Huh? Let him spit a little bit. Hallelujah. When I was younger, I would preach and I'd hand out towels in the front row. Hallelujah. But that's quenching. There is a fire, but we try to put the fire out, whether we know it or not. We do it. And we have to be careful. We need to host the Holy Spirit. Honor him. And finally, and this is it, grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be resisted. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians 4, 25 and so on. Do not grieve, he's talking to the church, the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Woo! Do not grieve. Do not hurt. Do not offend. The Holy Spirit. He's with you. He's faithful. He's with you no matter what. But we can grieve him. How? In context of that in Ephesians, by lying and be deceptive. That hurts the Holy Spirit. That hurts the Holy Spirit. In context, it's to fail to speak the truth. In context of that Ephesians, what grieves the Holy Spirit is when we become angry and overbearing with others and we live in anger. That grieves. That hurts him. It hurts him to see us hurt others. Hurt people hurt people. It hurts the Holy Spirit to see us live in anger, to live in lies, and to live in unrepentant sin. Amen? That's dangerous. And God is forbearing. When you're in sin, God will deal with you in that, and he's forbearing and loving, and he gives you a space of repentance. But if you go over that box, I'm making a box, if you go out of that box, you need to be very, very careful. Now I'll make a little scenario, and don't hold me to this theology, but I just thought of it this morning and meditating here. Say God is speaking to good old brother Joe. Is there any Joes here? I don't want to offend anyone. Brother Joe about praying. And he wakes up Saturday morning and God says, pray. Pray for so-and-so and pray for this. And instead he jumps on his four-wheeler and goes four-wheeling because that's what he wants to do the weekend. He worked hard all week. He wants to do the four-wheeler. I'll pray later, but he doesn't pray. Amen. Then the second week goes by, the Holy Spirit says, pray, Joe, pray. And instead he jumps to the I will, Holy Spirit, I'll do it. After I've done four-wheeling. And then he gets to the four-wheeler and he goes around and drives around and everything. And this goes on and on and on. Finally, God says, pray, hope. And then Joe, and I'm not saying God did this, but Joe takes the four-wheeler and he flips it over, and now he's in the hospital. Now, did God put him in the hospital? No. But he did not obey the Lord, and sometimes he didn't have the blessings of God either. He grieved the Holy Spirit. He was disobedient to the move of God. And Joe just did what he wanted to do until God gave him attention. Again, I didn't say God pushed the four-wheeler over. I'm just saying Joe did something on his own. And he lost. And sometimes in life we lose the blessings and we lose the things around us because we're not obeying the Holy Spirit. He should have got off that four-wheeler and he should have got on his knees and prayed. Amen. Amen. Because when you're dealing with that, you're dealing with the flesh. Hosting the Holy Spirit, the enemy is our flesh. If you live by the flesh, you will not really host the Holy Spirit. You will host yourself. Amen? So those are the three areas the Bible talks about in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now it says, I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Amen. 2 Corinthians, hallelujah, 13, 14. Let's talk about this one. We use this a lot in benedictions. Particularly, Pastor Billy, in Uganda, we use this one all the time when we dismiss it. I don't know how your church is. I've been to your church. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, I say Father, and communion, or some would say fellowship, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The communion, our fellowship, our communion, that word koinonia is our partnership, is used mostly in the New Covenant. Our partnership is with you, Holy Spirit. Our sharing, that also, some translations say, our sharing with the Holy Spirit. And here's what we need to remember in hosting the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between relationship and fellowship. You may have a relationship with a father, but you may not have fellowship with your dad. But there is a relationship. Amen? There's a biological relationship. With God, it's the same. Through God sending his son, Jesus Christ, and you believe on him, you have a relationship with God. Are you following me? Through the resurrection, belief in your heart, and confess Jesus with your mouth, the Bible says, you shall be saved. You have a relationship. Even through the outpouring on the day of Pentecost, you have a relationship. But because you have a relationship with God through salvation, because you have a relationship with God, because you're going to go to heaven, doesn't mean you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Verstehung? There's a difference between relationship and fellowship. Fellowship is when you open and yield. Thane Gauss, I need something in my Suburban. In the back of my Tahoe, parked right at the maroon one, you're going to find a can of paint. Can you go get that can of paint and stir stick? Thank you. Amen. I just remembered that. I got a couple of toys. People used to call me the props preacher. I used to bring props all the time. But it's right out there on the left there. Thank you. Our fellowship is because of relationship, but it's a relationship go deeper into fellowship. Hosting the Holy Spirit is built on relationship, yes, but hosting him is also built on our willingness to have the fellowship with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we begin to understand that. We begin to repent and say, okay, God, thank you for heaven. Thank you for eternity. Thank you for all that you did. Oh, I appreciate it. And thank you now that my communion, my partnership is with Holy Spirit. Amen? Again, it's not an it. It's not just a power. He is a person. Amen? Don't make this, church, listen, don't make this difficult. It isn't. It is relationship. It is fellowship. But don't make life. Life is too complex to make this more difficult than what it is. Amen? It will cost you something. I have to do this illustration with Thane. I hope he can find my car. Once we do one, it's going to cost you something, which I'm going to talk about pretty soon. But the Holy Spirit is our biggest cheerleader in life. Don't put yourself down. Don't think, oh, so-and-so has Holy Spirit, but I don't. God is the same. Amen? Through everything. But he is the biggest cheerleader. I hope I didn't lock it. I don't think I don't lock cars, by the way. Fame. It's in the back. Maybe just shut some. I'm sorry, Thane, it's in the back. When Steve Hoffman preaches, it gets interesting, doesn't it? I had a pastor in Oklahoma. Billy Joe Daugherty from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he's now with the Lord. But he shared this story one time, and I like it because it reminds me of Holy Spirit. And that is, Billy Joe, when he was in high school, he loved to run. He loved track. But he was a lousy runner. He usually came in last or second to last. And Billy Joe would run out in the track meet, and his dad loved him. And his dad knew he wasn't the best, right? So his dad would be in the grandstands shouting to Billy as he'd run around the track. He'd go, go, Billy Joe, go. You can do it. You can do it. Go, Billy. Billy, hey, man. Billy. And he would do it, and one day, Billy Joe was not last. He was not second to last. He was in the middle of the pack. He was actually doing better on this in this race. And as he's running, he knew his dad. You know, you're in high school, you're a teenager. He knew his dad was going to be shouting. And he heard this, "Billy, Billy, you can do it. Run, run, Billy." And he looked over. His dad was running out of the grandstands. His dad was on the grass next to Stratton, running. "Hey, Billy, run, run, run. Go, go. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it." And Billy came in third place. He wasn't last, amen? Billy was third place. And that is God in your life. God is not in the grandstands. God is running beside you, encouraging you, and blessing you to cross, hallelujah, to cross that finish line one day, amen? And you will run well with the Holy Spirit. Just run. You were built to run. Just run, amen? That's how God is in our life. And the number first thing we need to do in hosting this Holy Spirit, it's not by praying. It's not by fasting. It's not by doing a lot of things we think we should do. But in hosting the Holy Spirit, to me, Brother Chuck, the number one thing is just acknowledgement. Say, "Okay, God, I want to host the Holy Spirit." That's your first thing. It's not more this or more that. It's absolutely just having, putting aside yourself, putting aside your day, putting aside things, and saying, "Holy Spirit, I want you." Hosting the Holy Spirit individually begins with an immediately acknowledgement that, "Holy Spirit, I don't want to do things myself. I want you, Holy Spirit, come." That acknowledgement begins your seeking Him and seeking the Lord. Amen. I got my paint. I'm sorry you had to go to the paint store. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Beverly. Amen. Now, many of you know I'm a painter. I painted some of your houses. Amen. If I am to paint at your house, I still do small jobs. That's my commercial, by the way. If I'm going to be painting at your house, what's the one of the first things I must do to get this paint on your walls? I see a hand moving over there, stirring it. Amen? If this has been sitting for a while, you will have to stir the paint before you apply it. Right? All right, church? Now, what's this? Amen? Before you stir the paint, you have to get the lid off. Before, hallelujah, before you host the Holy Spirit, we must get the lid off. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah. And there's many ways to get the lid off. There's an opener, or maybe a screwdriver, and maybe your favorite screwdriver, even a quarter or something. There's many ways to get the lid off. But once the lid is off, then you can stir up the paint. Amen? The Bible says, stir up the gifts that are within you. In other words, the embers are going lower and lower and lower. And in the afternoon, I'm talking about what I call the emblems of the Holy Spirit. He's like a dove. He's like fire. He's like water. He's like wine. All those different, I'm going to be talking about those things. Amen, Billy? And now he is the one who comes. And when the embers, we want to host him, we need to stir up those embers. We need to blow on that. Amen? Remember the breath? The wind? More wind? And soon the flame becomes higher and higher. So when we get the lid off, then we experience the flame of God. Amen? But we have to open up. We have to allow Him. That's what the very beginning of hosting the Holy Spirit is, acknowledging Him, acknowledging our need, and begin to become open with Him. That is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. That is the communion with the Holy Spirit. That is your partnership, your sharing. This is our time together, Holy Spirit. Because now it will cost you something. Here we go. There is a price sometimes with God. It's grace, it's free, but there's a price for the anointing. There's a price to obey your calling. But when it comes to hosting the Holy Spirit, there is a price. And it's something that's very valuable to us. And the price of knowing the Holy Spirit and hosting Him will be your time. The thing that will separate you between a little bit of fellowship and a whole lot of fellowship is your time. And that's what we talked about, the priests, and that's what we talked about, stewardship. God made you, as a believer, God made you stewards. He made you stewards in finances. He made you stewards in many things. Amen? You steward your time with God. That's the beginning. Acknowledgement and time. Hosting the Holy Spirit is you steward that time. Lord, I'm going to give time. I'm going to spend 20 minutes with you. My day and my time. And hosting you, Holy Spirit. Amen? That's your time. How would I say? There's a word that I want, and that is this. When you give your time, the number one thing in time with you is this simple. How do you begin? Listen, how do you begin with the Holy Spirit? Amen. But even before that, we want to open the lid. You close your eyes. Hallelujah. It's that simple. You close your eyes. Now, I've been to church back in the 90s where a lot of them prayed with their eyes open. It used to bug me. They'd be talking and saying grace and, Lord, we thank you. And they'd be talking. And the other one's praying. He's looking. Can't we just bow our heads and close our eyes like normal people, you know? But that's okay. You can have your eyes open. I do it more myself, or just speak if I'm speaking the word. Yeah. But when it comes to hosting Holy Spirit, you get your time. You get more silent. You get more secret. You get in a place and you close your eyes. And that means you're closing your eyes by saying, I'm shutting out other things. I'm closing things that trigger me. I'm closing things that make me too busy. Because there's all this stuff going on inside of us. It's hard for us to settle down. It's hard for us to get quiet. Even it's that bad sometimes, we think it's wrong. But the number one thing in hosting the Holy Spirit individually in your heart is just finding that place and say, Holy Spirit, I want to seek you these next few minutes and close your eyes and get away from your flesh and your soul and your busyness and let your spirit begin to worship. Thane said earlier, glorify God. And you begin to worship Jesus. You close your eyes and say, Holy Spirit, allow me to worship Jesus right now. And begin to say, Jesus, thank you, you're my Savior. Lord, I thank you, you're my healer. Lord, I'm thank you, you're the King of Kings. I thank you, Lord, you're my peace. And you begin to worship. You begin to worship Jesus. And you begin to say, Holy Spirit, I'm more open to you. I want to host you now. Do what you want to do as you worship Jesus. Just have that attitude, your heart, saying, Lord, just take over, Lord. Holy Spirit, I don't know how sometimes, but Holy Spirit, begin to speak to me. Begin to whisper something in my ear. Begin to give me a revelation. And begin to worship Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes. And you begin to, here's the good news, church. You begin to hear the voice of God. Hallelujah. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. You give that time, and the Holy Spirit comes and begins to speak to you and share things with you. And this is what I like, even Pastor Billy. He will come to those hurts, and you may not be thinking about it. He goes, you know what? This is mine, and he'll take it. I don't know how I got delivered from that pain. I don't know how I got delivered from that hurt, but my time with the Holy Spirit, I'm different inside. Woo! I got more love, as we said earlier. I got more joy, amen? I have more guidance. I have more wisdom. I have more peace. Those are the signs of the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, amen? Love, joy, guidance, wisdom, peace. Hallelujah. And he becomes alive, and all of a sudden, wow, I never had peace like I have peace today, Holy Spirit. And then something really happens is you become like almost, to me, it's almost like an addiction. You want more of the Holy Spirit. And then if I have to use the word, it's more easier for you to enter in. I had places in my life when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and it was easy for me to hear His voice, to operate, I went and pray and preach, but I had seasons in my life where it was very difficult. I was dry, and I just didn't sense anything in my life, and I might be in prayer 2 or 3 hours before I sensed something that I had, you know, when I was really in the Spirit. It's not about feelings either. I'm talking about a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's more about, it's not about emotion, amen? It's not even about intellect. It's about fellowship and partnership and getting with and hosting Him. And there are times in my life that it took me an hour or two or three to begin to really know that I'm hosting Him or that He's speaking through me. And I knew it wasn't Steve Hoffman, it was Holy Spirit, amen? But there were other times I would do it all day long like a flow, amen? There's different seasons in your life, but as you take time and you prioritize Him, you acknowledge Him, you get that lid off, you spend time with Jesus, you worship Jesus, you open yourself up, Holy Spirit, begin to speak. Holy Spirit, I just love you. Just move in my life. And you develop that relationship of hosting Him. Amen? Praise God. Amen. What you do in private, I'm gonna now term this prayer, even though it's not, it is prayer. Prayer comes in many forms. But here's a revelation. Your private prayer will determine your public power. Your private prayers will determine your public power and how, what we have, amen? And what we're going to get into the afternoon is what we do as a church in fellowship will determine our future as a church. What United Zion will look like 5, 10 years from now will be determined by your fellowship with Holy Spirit. Come on, church. Amen? What we do individually in private will be shown in our public. Amen? That guy that cuts me off when I'm driving. Amen? What I do in private will determine how I treat my wife in public. Amen? It's about our hosting the Holy Spirit on a personal way and so on. So, you know what, thing? I got something else in that Suburban. Good Lord. You want to go get it? In the back of that Suburban. I'm going to bring the rest of stuff in. For back is just lift the hatch. Did you lock it? No. Just lift the hatch, pull out a glove. A glove. A garden. It takes two. I love you guys. I love you guys. I will say this. Sometimes in life, now, like I said, I had for years a ministry of intercession. And I'm not putting down aggressive prayer. I'm not putting down. Sometimes I went to a very charismatic Bible school. And they taught you, first thing in the morning, you pray like a machine gun. I'm sorry to point at you. You pray like a machine gun and just do violent prayers. And I did that for many years. And that is good. That's prayer. Amen. And sometimes you have to pray loud. And sometimes you have to pray like that. Sometimes you have to pray like that over a situation or your family or your kids and so on. But mainly when we're hosting the Holy Spirit, we don't have to do those things. We host Him individually by doing more of a stillness and a quietness and a seeking. Because we're too, again, I'm going to say it again, we're too sometimes bottled up with things to hear from Holy Spirit. We're too sometimes busy to host Holy Spirit. Amen, church? And that's why you have to get out of that mode and say, Holy Spirit, I want time with you this evening. I'm going to make time with you at 6 o'clock from 6 to 6:30. Holy Spirit, please, I want to have fellowship with you. Do you think God hears that prayer? Amen. He wants fellowship with you more than you want fellowship with Him. Amen. He wants to meet with you. Holy Spirit wants you to seek Him. That's His design as God. Come to me. Seek me. Amen. Bring me those burdens. Bring me yourself. Yield. Amen. These big revivals in those days of old, one, I think the Welsh revival or the Hebrides revival, they would say, bend me. You ever hear that? Bend me, Lord. I think they were in Welsh. Bend me, Lord. Meaning, Lord, I surrender to you, more of me to you. Less of me, more of you. Amen. And then in the 80s, I think it was 90s, probably the 90s, whether it be the Toronto Blessing or the revival of Brownsville in Florida, it was more, Lord, more. Do you remember that one, some of you guys? They would say, more, Lord, more. And that's us to him. More, Jesus. We want more of your presence. But and hosting him, a lot of times, praise God. Thank you, sir. I'm not telling you what I touched with his glove earlier, but I would recommend washing your hands before lunch, though. What do I have here, church? Simple glove, right? You could just see it laying there. It's just a glove, right? Nothing here. Nothing special about it. I do guard a little bit, and I do work when Beverly tells me to around the house. But this, I love you. This glove is designed to have a partner. Amen? This simple little glove can do so much, but it will only do so much when I insert my hand into it. Amen? Now the glove can perform. And now every time I can move my thumb, the glove moves. If I move my fingers, the glove moves. Amen? The Holy Spirit, we are designed to be like a glove. And when you want to host the Holy Spirit, what I'm talking about is you host the Holy Spirit and he comes into your life and he begins to move you in the way you should be moved. And now people would not just see you, but they know God is with you and in you. Amen? There's a movement. And the movement of God is when we say, Holy Spirit, come. I'm created for you to come. I host you in my life. I want to move the way you want me to move. Amen? I want to look how you want me to look. We are your hands and feet. Amen? Hallelujah. That's what God wants with us, to have a relationship. Hosting the Holy Spirit is like putting a hand in the glove so that people will see him and not us. Amen? Let me see how I'm doing my time because I don't want to tap into this one. Amen. What, as a church, what we want, I want some feedback from you. I'm going to end it. We're going to end in some prayer a little bit. As talking what we're talking today, what do you think is some of the, it's not right or wrong, what do you think are some of the hindrances to us hosting Holy Spirit? Anyone want to share one? What are some hindrances to us?
Fear.
Fear. Amen. That's a biggie. Fear in hosting the Holy Spirit. And I've seen many things in my life. I've seen many manifestations in my life. And I've seen revivals that began with the Holy Spirit ended up being a ritual. I've seen that in churches. And particularly, I'm going to be honest with you if I can, Brother Chuck, particularly laying hands with people and falling over. And sometimes it's very real. And sometimes it's just something they do in the church. And Beverly and I both already were in churches speaking, and that was manifesting. We both looked at each other and thought, it became a ritual to those people. You pray, they drop. Amen? Now, that's your way, it's your way. I'm not making fun of it or nothing, but there is a genuine. But there's also then, it gets into, this is how we do it. Amen? And then other ones who pick up on it start having like a fear or something like, oh, I don't want that happening to me. I don't want you praying for me. People would say to me already, I had people say, I don't want you praying for me, Steve. You're going to push me over. I don't remember ever pushing someone over. But somewhere along the line, they got hurt. Or somewhere along the line, they saw the mistreatment in the body of Christ. Amen? And we need to be sensitive to that. I'm very sensitive to that. Amen? I was filled with the Holy Spirit and fire back in 1989. This is, I was filled before that, but this was a different anointing. Christ for the Nations came to this area, my DNA, my Bible school, and they did a fundraiser. We had a place, a Dove Christian Fellowship, and the CEO was there. All the alumni were there, and Bradley remembers this. I got up, they asked me to give the grace. I hosted it. I gave the grace, and when I was giving the grace to pray over the lunch before everything, the Holy Spirit fell on me like never in my life. And like it was like a fire. The only way I can explain it to this day was like the Old Testament in the tabernacle. The pillar, the cloud by day, and the fire of night was inside of me. I was completely a different person. And I didn't, as far as I remember, according to my wife, I really didn't pray. I start preaching. Are you shaking your head? Beverly came to me, she said, like, what's the matter with you? She said, what happened to you? Well, it's more like you probably said, what happened to you? You were preaching. I said, I can't help it. It was almost like the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And God has anointed me to preach the gospel. There was something happened in my life. And we were going that week, we were taking our kids to Daily Adventure Bible School. Oh, I remember, Joy, you were the cutest little kid, I'm telling you right now. And we took you down, walking down the steps to this church. I looked at my friend and said, this pastor's going to ask me to preach in this church. You wait. I know it. I know it. And he said, Steve, do you want to preach here? I said, yes. As a matter of fact, he said, I'm going to go on a sabbatical and on an itinerary. Would you mind preaching here like for 6 months or whatever it was? Do you remember that, Beverly? And we said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Well, one of the first Sundays, every Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit would speak to me like I'm talking to you. Never happened to it in my life. He would say things to me like, wow. And I was so busy with our children, changing diapers, so busy with different things, and so busy, you know, in my business, painting houses, that I would forget. But then Sunday morning, Holy Spirit was there. He was so real. And one day we lined people up and said, we're going to pray for healing. Whoever wants to, and they got up. It was a small little church. And we started praying for people, and they didn't fall over. Beverly knows. They were falling almost across the room, banging in metal chair. You ever hear someone's body hit a metal chair? I'm thinking, whoa, what is this? But it was happening before our very eyes. It wasn't me. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So the next Sunday after that happening, Chuck, I'm glad I wasn't no elders at that church. They probably would have shut me down. Like, whoa, what a, you know? We didn't know what to do. But I was dumb enough to believe it, but smart enough not to touch it. This is not me. And he, Holy Spirit, was so real, I couldn't touch it. I dared not touch what he's doing. That's his work. I didn't have time to make it fancy and get people to catch, or if you fall over, I get a piece of cloth and put it over you. We didn't even think of that. We were so like naive or virgin. All I could think of was that next Sundays we just put the chairs back. So they wouldn't have chairs struck. That's what we did. We just pushed the chairs back and let the people fall. The power of God. I prayed for this one lady and she had a Lyme's disease. And I sensed the power of God come through my arm as I laid on her. In Jesus' name be healed. I put my hand on her head and the power of God went right down my hand and came right back up. And I'm sorry that she passed away of Lyme's disease a couple years later. I never forget that. Never forget that. But the Holy Spirit church was so real. We didn't even think about imitating it. We dare not. He is God. And he was in control. And finally, and I remember this, finally, back in those days, we would do something called the holy hush. I don't know if you ever heard of that term, where God would move in his presence and no one moved. We were more like always around the altar back in those days. We'd always end up at the altar at the end of the service praying or something. And we're at the altar, and I remember I was on my knees praying for revival and praying for Ephrata and praying. And this guy came over and said, I want to be delivered from cigarettes. I'm smoking. I want to stop smoking. I'm addicted. I want to stop. And so he was by my side, so I just put my hand on him in Jesus' name. And he fell over my arm. And he was out. He just absolutely out. And just like that, The Holy Spirit moved across the church. No one moved. Not one child talked. Not one baby cried. I wonder where you were, Joy, at all this. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm gonna say something about you girls. I'm gonna tell on you. And no one moved. And this guy, I'm on my knees, and he's draped over my arm, and he was like a feather. And no one moved. We just stopped and waited. And I remember someone stood up and got their coat and started walking out. And I felt as though, in a way, that might be a little bit of quenching the Holy Spirit. And when he did that, everybody got up and it was over. And then the pastor came back and said, I want my church back. I said, there it is. But that was one of the final Sundays, Beverly, we were there. I don't know if you recall that. One day, and I'm going to tell you how I remember it. One day I'm downstairs. I heard this boom, 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 boom upstairs in the kids' room. Boom, Joy, her sisters and stuff. And I walked upstairs. Now, what are they doing? I walked up here. Now, one of them said they were actually trying to baptize. But what I saw, they were like laying hands and they were falling over. And they were laughing. I'm thinking, no, don't do that. That's sacrilegious. You know, I was more religious back then. No, don't do that. And the Holy Spirit stopped me. Now, back in those days, Beverly and I, out of Bible school, would not allow any Barbies in the house. They were ungodly. Do you remember that? Poor girl. And then the Holy Spirit, here's what he said. He said, would you rather have them play Holy Spirit? Well, actually, he said Holy Ghost. Would you rather have them play Holy Ghost or Barbies? I said, okay, play Holy Ghost. I don't know if you, do you remember doing that as a little girl, though? You do. Were you baptizing each other, or were you Holy Ghost baptized?
I don't think it was water baptized.
You were laying hands on each other, laughing and falling over. Hallelujah. Brother Chuck, see that? So, and now, but then by our youngest daughter, we had more Barbies in the house. You couldn't even see the carpeting. And this is how bad Steve Hoffman is. I told them to clean things up, and they wouldn't. I told them to clean things up, and they wouldn't. So when they went to bed, the things that were on the floor, Chuck, don't throw me out here, I would pop heads off and put them on their bodies. So that when he came downstairs, he said, I remember, Daddy, how do you know it was me? It wasn't Beverly. Hallelujah. Amen. Fear is one. Let's do one or two more, and then we're going to close. What are the hindrances? Because we're going to pray against the hindrances. We don't want to hinder you, Holy Spirit. We don't want to enter in with fear. We want to enter in with confidence. We want to enter in perfect love. Cast out fear. Amen. Lord, we want that perfect love to be on us. That you're not going to harm us. You're not going to mismanage my life. But Lord, we want to serve you. One of the traits of the Holy Spirit is to give you boldness. Hallelujah. Boldness. Praise God. Boldness. Anything else? Fear? Anyone else? What other hindrances might we have with hosting Holy Spirit? Anything else? We talked about time. Can I throw that in there? My time. Managing my time. Making time to host him. Is that okay? We're going to pray against fear in us, that we would not come before God in fear, that we would manage our time before him. Amen. To begin to host him in a very real way in our life. Amen. Bring us back, Holy Spirit. Would you stand with me, please? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just begin with your own words. Just begin talking to the Lord, please. Just in your own way, where you're at. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. I'm reminded, Jesus, to come back to our first love. Amen. We are neither hot nor cold. Lukewarm to our first love, Jesus. Hallelujah. Speak to your church now, Lord. Bring us back, Lord. Through hosting you, Holy Spirit, we host you. Yes, Lord. So we will not be hot or we, Lord, that we will not be lukewarm. That's right. In Jesus' name. We host you, that Lord, in my life, I will not be lukewarm in Jesus' name. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me for being lukewarm. Forgive me for not making time in my life to host you, Holy Spirit. Forgive us. Forgive me, Lord, and my time all year long. How much time did I spend on the phone? How much time did I spend on that computer? How much time did I spend this or that? How much time did I spend hosting you, Holy Spirit? How much time did I dedicate to sit down with my eyes closed and say, I surrender, Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, help us right now. We are a needy people. We can be very proud. We can be very arrogant people. And we can become very fearful. So help us, Jesus, in hosting you. Help us, Lord, to know what it is to host you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for this campground. We pray against fear, and we pray against time, our time that we devote to other things, but not to you. Lord, make a way right now in my life. I rededicate my life to host you, Holy Spirit. I dedicate my life to host you in my life that I may bring you glory and know what it means, Jesus, to be one with you. I want fellowship. Just tell him that if that's your heart. I want fellowship. If it's your heart, I want partnership. Right now in your heart. If that's you, just say it. Say it that you can at least hear. Holy Spirit, I want partnership. I want fellowship. I want to yield to you, Lord. I want to give everything to you, Jesus. And so I yield. Because of that, I want to love you, Jesus. I want to yield to you. Because of that, Lord, I want to host Holy Spirit in my life. I want to make time to communicate. Hallelujah. With you, Holy Spirit, show me how to communicate so that it just overflows out of me into my car, when I drive the car, when I talk to my wife, when I live my life in painting houses. And may it be an overflow, Lord, that I would have hosting you. Lord, wherever I go around the world, you are everywhere. Lord, you are in Ephrata. You were in Cornwall. You were in Uganda. You were in Guatemala. You're all over. Wherever I go, you are there, Lord. But my heart needs to be with you, that your flow through me to others is pure. Yes, sir. Holy Spirit, come and show us more on hosting you this week for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. In Jesus' precious name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And Chuck, if you want to dismiss us, that's fine. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Steve. And I look forward to hearing from you again this afternoon.